Welcome to the podcast, Stories Behind the Songs. I'm Christy Brooks, sitting in the beautiful BMI Theater in Nashville, the heart of country music songwriting, and that's what this podcast is all about. We chat with the writers behind the songs you hear on the radio to get the original stories behind these songs. This is part two of a three-part series with songwriter Wynn Varble. Last week, we talked about the hit you wrote with Daryl Worley called Have You Forgotten? Today, I'd like to chat about a more recent song that was a huge hit for Easton Corbin, his first single back in 2009 and his first number one, a song that has a lot of truth in it, or does it?
Oh man, you say don't ever let the truth stand in the way of a good story.
I just want to make sure you know just who you're getting under this old hat. Cause girl, I'm not the kind of two-time or play games behind your back. I'm a little more country than that.
A little more country than that. How did that song get started?
Me and Rory Feek and Don Porters, and there was a kid named Blaine Larson, Tim Johnson, I think that was it. We all went to the lake one time up at Old Hickory. There's an old, great old songwriter that used to be here named Mickey Newberry, a legendary guy, and we were writing in his old cabin up on Old Hickory Lake. And there was some mojo going on. We wrote two songs that day. We just split up in threes, you know, in groups of three, and split and traded in the afternoon, and both the songs got cut that we wrote that day. And a little more country than that, we wrote that. I stuck it, the cassette, somewhere in my truck, and I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks later, Blaine Larson was the artist we were writing for. Mm-hmm. And he didn't feel like it was for him. And I was like, well, I like it. I think I'm going to do a demo on it. So I went in the studio and did a demo on it. And Rory wasn't there and Don wasn't there. And they both sang better than me. So I sang it. And it got cut anyway. So you never know.
So that was Easton's first...
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, when, you know, this kid out of nowhere, you hear, oh, there's this new artist, and they put a hold on it. Are you hesitant?
Not on that one, because that song had been around for 5 years when Easton put it on hold. His producer, Carson Chamberlain, called me, and he said, man, I love this song. We cut it. We cut a great record on it. And, you know, you don't know what the kid sounds like. You never heard him, you know. And, Carson came by one day. I was walking in the office, and he was in his Jeep, and he said, get in, I want to play you this thing. So he played me the cut, and I thought, oh, man, that sounds great, you know. And he said, I think it's going to be his first single. And then I was like, oh, gosh, you know. And I was glad. I was happy. But a new artist, you just, he could, you know, you never know. And it was slow, you know. It lost its bullet about 10 times, and I thought, well, that's it. It's over, you know. And then it'd come back, and they were doing their thing, and the promotion team over there, and it got up in the top five. And I knew this promotion guy that worked for Reba over there, and he's like a real radio guy, and he studies the charts, and he can tell. He's kind of a forecaster, you know, and he said, no, I don't think you'll ring the bell with this one, you know. And I was like, oh, well, hey, we made top five. And then, like, the guys over at the label, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to ring the bell, you know. And I was like, and then it went number one, and, you know. And all three of those songs were nominated for Song of the Year, which, you know, is good. You know, you get to go to Vegas and spend a bunch of money and buy your wife an $800 dress that she'll never wear again. Apparently not even around the house just for you. So
let's talk more about the process of songwriting. A lot of your songs, from what I'm hearing, came from life experiences. Mm-hmm. Is it always that way? Or
I think if you're going to write about something, you have to know a little bit about it. And then you had to experience, if not the exact thing, something like it. You know what I mean? You can twist it and turn it a little bit to make it a little more interesting. And I think that's the part of songwriting that makes it a little more, you know, listenable, is, you know, it may not be exactly true, but it ain't exactly false either, you know. It ain't a bunch of BS, you know. My old man used to say, don't ever let the truth stand in the way of a good story, you know.
I like that. Don't tell my kids that.
No, I won't.
What do you do when you hit a creative roadblock? Do you just put it away and come back to it, or do you keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing
it? It depends. Some days you might have a good idea for a song, and you just sit there and you beat it and you beat it and you beat it, and, you, and then by, I mean, I've had it happen at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you think, what if we tried it like this, when you just do something totally different and take a whole different angle at it, and it all comes together? Usually the ones, the ones that are where you find the magic is they just kind of fall out, you know. You know, like I said, I didn't write it. I just held the pen, you know. It's kind of like God just kind of like gives you I don't know no other way to explain it, you know, because it's just, I'm not that good, you know.
And we'll be right back with more from Wynn Varbal about writing songs by yourself versus co-writing. I'm Christy Brooks, and this is Stories Behind the Songs. I'm here with Wynn Varbal. Now, you have co-writers on some songs and others by yourself. Is it easier to write by yourself or with a group?
The reason you co-write basically is because it's kind of a numbers game. You just try to write as many good songs as you can and hope that they'll find their way. And you want to be working every day, and there's songwriters like Bob McDill who, if they get one good line in a day, they're just tickled to death, you know, because he wrote most of his stuff by himself. The stuff that I write by myself is usually inspired stuff, you know, and it comes fairly quick, you know. But it's not the reason you co-write. If you go in every day, you're not going to have a great idea every day. Maybe your co-writer will, or maybe you'll come up with one together, you know. It just, you know, it's different co-writing. The first time I tried it, I didn't like it, you know. But, you know, it grew on me, you know. I fell in there pretty good. So,
what's been your favorite song you've written?
Golly, I don't know. I mean, I love Waiting on a Woman. I love the sentiment, you know, and I love the video, obviously, and probably if anything with commercial success, that's been the one, just because Brad got Andy, and you know, Brad did a great job, and you know, I mean, it was it's a very well known song for some reason, you know. It just, people know it when you mm-hmm. sing it, you know, even people that don't listen to country music. So
what is it like for you as the songwriter of that song to be somewhere and the crowd be singing your words?
It's great, you know. The first song I ever had on the radio the first song I ever had on the radio was a song this guy named Sammy Kershaw did, and it was probably about 96, and it was called Fit to Be Tied Down. And it was kind of a hit, you know. It probably went to like 12 or something. And went out to Fanfare one day, and he was playing out there when they used to have it over the fairgrounds, and I saw people singing along out in the crowd, you know, and I was like, that's cool, man, that's so cool. You know my song, you know.
Have you ever wanted to go, that's me right here?
Oh yeah. Well, the first time I heard it on the radio, one of the first times, I was back in I was pulling my boat out of the lake. That's when me and Daryl were rooming together, and I used to go crappie fishing in the spring every day before I'd go write. And I had about 40 crappie in the live well, and this guy was backing his boat in while I was pulling mine out, and I had the door open in case my song come on. I could hear the radio, you know. And it came on, and he's putting his boat in. I'm hooking mine up, and I wanted so bad to say, hey, I wrote that song right there, you know. But I knew he didn't care, and he was just wanting to go fishing.
Is it like that with every song that you hear?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear one of your songs on the radio, you're thankful, you're grateful, you know.
Have you ever wanted to be the one that records it? Have you ever wanted to be the artist?
You know, maybe a little bit. But, I mean, I have so many artist friends, and I see what they go through and the hoops they have to jump through. And I'm just like, I don't know. I kind of like where I'm at here, you know.
How long does a song live before? Like you said, it was 5 years for A Little More Country Than That. Is that the longest a song's ever waited? Do you have one that's
actually, long? You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have a song called Hot that I wrote probably 15 years ago. It just got recorded last year by Mark Chestnut, which, you know, Mark's kind of on the tail end of his career, but it's a really good, cool song, and it's about time somebody cut the dadgum thing.
Do you have a lot of those that are just waiting to get cut?
I have a few. You know, I used to think I had a lot, but I'm kind of come down to reality now, and I think, you know, the really good songs, just, you know, I mean, if you ask a songwriter what's the best song he wrote, it's probably the last one he wrote, you know,
yeah,
the one he wrote that day, you know, but because we get, you know, we get all fired up about them. But as you look back, you kind of go back and listen through your catalog, and there's some turds in there for sure, you know. And that day they weren't, though. Boy, that was great that day you wrote them.
Some turds are getting cut now, and they're
putting them on the radio. Yeah, well, you know. You said that. I didn't say that.
Wynn, I can't thank you enough for being here with us for Stories Behind the Songs. We're going to finish up with you in our next episode, where we'll get into a big song that you wrote for a big star, Brad Paisley. And I'm going to do my best to convince you to sing for us. So come back next week for our final chat in this three-part series with Wynn Barbel. You can get caught up on past episodes anytime for free on our website, storiesbehindthesongspodcast.com. Stories Behind the Songs, a Cox Media Group production. Executive producer Tim Clark, writing and editing by Maureen Cooper. Special thanks to Bill Tater and everyone at BMI, especially Dan Spears. Recorded at the BMI Theater in Nashville and hosted by me, Christy Brooks. Join us next week for more stories with Wynn Barbel.